have a really big challenge. I'm a very fast talker. I'm from Jersey. But when we put together our abstract, LJ Tan is here as well. And I'm also speaking on behalf of Deborah Wexler, who is in Italy. I don't know how I ended up here. I'm married to an Italian, so I'm not sure how that worked out. But we have a lot to cover, and we were trying to decide together what we would really focus on. We wanted to make sure to definitely talk a lot about the 317 Coalition, because it's pretty in-depth, but there's other initiatives and that are really important. And I guess the way that I would say, I have so many slides that I won't go through completely, but while I'm here, I just want you to think about what on earth does the national initiatives have to do with what I'm doing at the local level? And I completely understand the way that people can hear about things and they seem so abstract. You hear that things are happening, you hear there's a bill on the Hill. Well, who cares? I'm at the state level and I know it affects me if I don't get 317 money, or I know it affects me if there's an omnibus proceeding on autism, but what can I do? So just while you're here, I'm going to try to give you little times when I would hope that you would be able to participate, and I want you to go home and really think about what I can do at the local level to make a difference at the national level. Because literally, without local input, congressional members, they don't care. And I was trying to figure out, I'm not just speaking on behalf of LJ and Deborah, but on a bunch of different coalitions and different advocacy groups that basically spend every day trying to make sure that everything that you do at the local level keeps happening, and that we're supported, and that parents still trust vaccines, and that members of Congress don't make decisions based on non-scientific evidence, or members of state Congress don't pass laws that don't make any sense that then make parents fear vaccines unnecessarily. So that's really what I'm hoping I can get through by the time I finish. And you're going to give me a 5 and a 3 minute warning.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, national organizations like the American Medical Association and the Academy of Pediatrics, and most of you don't belong to those, right? Does anyone here belong to AMA? The Academy of Pediatrics. Okay. They're large organizations, and when we band together with groups like that and the Immunization Action Coalition and Every Child by Two, I'll just go through a couple. There's my disclaimer. I'm not going to read it. When we band together, we have a voice at the national level. We have Meningitis Angels and PKIDS, and we have national leaders like Alan Hinman and Walt Ornstein and Paul Offit. They band together, and we have weekly or monthly conference calls to talk about issues affecting everyone. And we can get the voice of Congress, we can get their ear, we can get members of Congress's staff to come and listen to us when we have things to say. But when it comes to actually voting on the bill or the issue or making public statements like you might hear from John McCain, thank you very much, if he doesn't hear from Arizona's people, he doesn't care. If they don't hear from their local person when it comes down to the day before they vote, they're not going to vote. We were so close to getting a vote for more funding for 317 this year, and we missed it by a couple of members who are normally supportive. So when we go up there, we have the power to make the voices, to get their ear, but without actually your input and letters and calls, nothing happens. And I know that many of you work for public health, and I know that some of you feel that you can't do some of the things that you would want to do, so you should talk to your bosses and find out the rules in your community and find out what it is you can and can't do. And your mother and your sister and your brother and your best friend can do whatever you can, so you can tell them to do it. So here are the issues I'm going to try to cover. The Childhood Vaccine Policy Group and the Adult Vaccine Policy Group, the 317 Coalition, the National Influenza Vaccine Summit, the National Immunization Congress that was held by, that's dealing with national vaccine financing issues. Thank God Alan's going to cover Voices for Vaccines, so I won't do that one. And some outreach and educational materials that will help keep you connected. So the policy group, we were initiated, I can't believe it, back in 99. It felt like it was just a couple years ago. And what we wanted to do was have a really open forum where organizations could get together and discuss anything at all that relates to policy, which is basically everything that we do. So everything sort of falls in here. We talk about 317 funding, and now we have the 317 Coalition, so we don't spend as much time on dealing with strategies, but we do keep each other up to date on what's happening, when the bills are coming forward, and things that are just very difficult to keep track of, and you really need a permanent legislative person. So fortunately, the large organizations help support our smaller groups that have a good voice, but not the time to really spend, like you do, on knowing when the bills are coming and what to do. We talk a lot about the vaccine injury compensation type legislations and the omnibus autism proceedings and what's taking place. And the reason why we're really interested in that, it's not necessarily that we can help with the decisions in the appropriate, do you all know what that is? Does anyone here not know what I'm talking about? Don't be shy. Omnibus autism proceedings. Okay, there's one. So it's a big proceeding that's happening at the national level to determine whether or not autism is caused by vaccines. And I won't go into the details, but there's several different test cases that are being tested right now. And so it has ramifications because there's more than 5,000 petitioners, and you can understand if that case, if those cases end up being considered yes, that it's true, sort of like the Hannah Poling case that you heard about last couple weeks, it has massive implications for us. So we talk a lot about that, and more in the reference of how can we alert the media to the facts? You know, what do we do? When's the case happening? When's the next big hot part of the hearing happening? And when do we think that the press needs some help understanding the issue? So we do talk about that, and we try to send alerts to the press and educate them about the true facts in the issue. We talk a lot about state vaccine legislation, and I don't think that Diane Peterson is here, but she deserves a lot of credit because she really helps keep us up to date on that. Unfortunately, we can do what we can, and we do write letters, and I know it makes a difference when they hear from national organizations. We've heard of several instances where even bills were passed and the governor ended up vetoing them because of the impact. But truly, I've heard that it's the local letters that really make a difference. We have a lot of trouble finding a local physician that'll go and testify. We don't have that kind of capacity to do that. We can't be on the ground at all times. So although we feel like we know who everyone is out there, when it comes down to the day that they need to testify, we can't find anyone. I'm not asking you to do that, but just let us know who your experts are so we can ask them. That's what I'm hoping for. And then vaccine safety happenings, and I'll tell you how you can keep involved in that. I have a lot of contact information on that. The Adult Vaccine Policy Group, I'm not going to go into details on that, but they cover really the same issues that the childhood group does, only on the adult side. Now, the 317 Coalition. That is a coalition that was formed about 2 years ago now, and we do focus only on 317 funding increases. So we go up and we meet every week, and we have a conference call, and we have a really good steering committee. And we talk about all the initiatives that have to happen. We do go up and educate the staff members of Congress. We try to get champions. And there's a lot that goes on. You know, the time frames are never the same, but this is generally how it works. Right now, we have a Dear Colleague letter that's out. It's really important that folks sign on to the Dear Colleague letter. A couple senators and a couple of members of the House usually sponsor the letter, and then it goes to all the different offices, and senators and members of the House are urged to sign on to it, and it basically says that you support an increase in 317 funding. So it's a letter, who cares? Well, if you put your letter name on the letter, it means that you're going to vote for the legislation when it comes up. So if they decide that they're kind of waffling, we can say, but you signed the letter. So they won't sign the letter unless the members of their states ask them to do that. So right now, you'll receive emails from us telling you right now is the time to call. They need to sign the letter. And don't think the letter doesn't mean anything, because it means everything. Then we do our visits and we continue to educate them. And then the appropriations committees get together and they make their decision, and then they go back and forth and they fight about the budgets, and you hear about when we need you to call and when we need you to take action. We try to keep it very minimal, so there's not a lot of times that we're calling you and saying you need to do something. So when we ask folks to do it, we want you to ask your mother and your brother and your sister and your best friend to send a letter too. And then we get the appropriations always on time, and there's never any delays. As you know, we always get it right when we're supposed to. So, this is one slide I really did want to spend a little bit of time on because it took me forever to do. But this is the appropriations history. In 07, we received about for the total appropriations, and you can see all the numbers here. It's the difference is that when what you receive and what is requested is different. And I want you to look at FY09, the president's report. Okay, this is the number that the president is requesting. Okay, 526. I have 3 minutes. I'm good. Now, a really important report comes out right about now, and it's come out for the last 2 years. That comes from the CDC, and it's an honest answer. It's an honest listing of all of the needs that they have. This is a really important report because it doesn't include any of the whatever the administration is. Right now, it's the Bush administration's, any of their priorities. It's really a true number of what the need is for the immunization program. As you can see, it's $1.1 billion. That's exactly what we need in order to vaccinate every child at the level that we used to before we had a lot more vaccines that came in. Every child and all the adolescents, and to boost the adult program. Now, the 317 program, as you can see, is only asking for $802 million. Why are we doing that, right? Why aren't we asking for 1.1? Because we don't think it's realistic that we'll get it. But we are telling them that that's really the need, and we do want the $802 million. So we'll be up there, and we'll be advocating for that. And you can see this isn't coming out as nicely as it does when we go there. But that's our request, and we do justify it. We have really good numbers to justify it, and we'll be up there doing that. Now, there's also a National Influenza Vaccine Summit that's sponsored by AMA, and I'm not going to go into details because I'm running out of time. And the Influenza Summit, as you know, it takes in all the stakeholders, and it really does try to develop national priorities for influenza. And then there's several initiatives that are taking place right now to try to shore up the different the financing crises that are taking place. And you'll hear about that quite a bit. AMA and AAP, they had a summit, and the National Vaccine Advisory Committee as well is working on a white paper to really deal with all of the issues that are taking place and try to overcome them. And so you'll be hearing quite a bit about that, and you can understand how that can affect everyone. I'm almost done.
I didn't think I could do it.
Okay. Now, this is what I really wanted you to do because I didn't print it out, and I promised LJ Endeavor that I would. I really would like you to write down just a couple of contact numbers. Do any of you receive the ECBT daily news clips? Okay, write down info@ecbt.org. info@ecbt.org, and write us an email. We want to send these to you every day, and it keeps you up to date on your local news. We can't really inform the local press about the issues. We don't have really the manpower to do that, and those are the ones that aren't reporting correctly. So if you receive our daily clips, you'll know who your reporters are, and then you'll know that you need to educate them. We also have action alerts that go out, and we have an ECBT newsletter that we really only send these out when we want to send you really up-to-date information. Now, the Immunization Action Coalition, does anyone receive their newsletter? Everybody does, right? Whoever doesn't, you should write down. Deborah's information is here, and it's at the end. And also, she wants everyone who has a coalition to register on izcoalitions.org, and that's the way that the 317 Coalition keeps in touch with you all, and that's the way that the Action Coalition keeps in touch. We can't do it because we don't know all the coalitions out there. So Deborah's information is right here at deborah@immunize.org, and that's how you get onto her newsletter. And then you can also tell her about your coalition as well. And I'm hoping I covered everything. I know I'm trying to do it really quickly, but
they can contact you.
Yes, you can contact us. Thank you.
Thank you.